This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello and welcome to Paranormal Pets. I'm your host, Brandi Stark, and today we have a delightful author from Alaska, the true west coast of the United States, named Molly Fitz, who's going to talk to us about her very exciting, really cool books. I saw an ad for them on social media, and just to give you a quick little hint, it turns out that the animals are magical and the humans are their familiars. So we will return with Molly right after these messages.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
So, Molly says, the first thing you need to know is that I am obsessed with animals and with books. Both were my best friends growing up and remain that way to this day, even though I have finally learned to people, which is a hard, hard thing to do, and even have friends of the human variety these days. I live in Alaska with my four dogs, my husband, who is also a writer, in addition to his job as a full-time dad, our wonderfully creative daughter, and she has Schrodinger, Merlin, and Monty, three cats. Oh, one is hairless. I'm curious how that works out in Alaska, but we want to welcome you to Pet Life Radio, to Paranormal Pets. How are you doing today, Molly?
Thanks. I am doing great. And holy crap, I swear I wrote that bio so recently, but there's so many updates. It's five dogs now. We rescued another Chihuahua mix. And now it is child, because my daughter is non-binary, so I have to update child.
So you are on the other side of the U.S., and we were just talking right ahead of the show that you still have light for how long now?
We have it for a few hours a day right now. Alaska is really funny in that we go from 22 hours of sunlight at the summer solstice down to about 3 hours at the winter solstice, and back and forth each year. So this is my second Alaskan winter, and I was prepared for seasonal affective disorder this time, but that does not mean I did not get it. So we're enjoying the light we have. I'm in the room of the house that gets the most light, aka the cat room, and okay. I'm enjoying every drop.
Oh, I bet. It's always funny because in Florida, of course, we're known for the sunlight. And, I kvetch because sun is, sets at 6 o'clock now. And I'm like, oh, what are we going to, bless her heart. My mother who lives next door, she's like, you can't go out after dark. And I'm like, Mom, it's 6 o'clock. It doesn't matter how old you are. I'm kind of her caretaker, but that's her thing, man. Not after dark. So I don't know. It's a good thing I don't live in Alaska, right? Now, how did you end up there?
My husband was born and raised here, so we ended up moving to be closer to his family, and we just wanted a more peaceful life. And I gotta tell you, it's pretty great being 4 hours different time zone. It's really peaceful, because when I want to stop work, it doesn't matter what time it is, the East Coast is done. So I can kind of just disengage easily, and I can stop work after lunch if I want.
That's nice. That is nice, yeah. Actually. I may be moving to Alaska soon. So now tell us a little bit about your books, particularly the ones with the human-cat relationship that has flipped a little bit.
Yes, it definitely sounds like you discovered my Merlin series. So that was originally called Merlin the Magical Fluff, and I rebranded it to Merlin's Magical Mysteries because I enjoy tongue twisters so much. But so these stories have a Maine Coon named Merlin, who is a descendant of the true Merlin, the wizard. And there's a whole backstory there where the human Merlin was an imposter and the cat Merlin is the true Merlin. So not to give too much away, but the human Merlin is the villain of the series. And Merlin takes on a coffee house barista slash grad student as his familiar and talks to her and shocks her and is training her how to be his familiar while they're navigating the murder of her boss. And two really cool things about that series. One is that it's cozy fantasy before that genre technically existed. I class it as cozy mystery, but books 2 and 3 don't have mysteries. So it's cozy fantasy. But the really cool thing is that Merlin is my actual cat. He is my actual pet. He's very normal. It was originally called Merlin the Magical Fluff because that's his full name. And he is magical because he defied death multiple times and is basically, we call him the zombie cat because when he was little, he was so sickly and my husband had to take him to the vet every day to get hydration and checked out. And we were just so sure he was going to die on Halloween that I stayed back from trick-or-treating to be there with him. And the jerk survived. So I love him very much. He likes to bully my Chihuahua who I have here with me. So that's why I called him a jerk because he shouldn't pick on her even though she's small. But he survived and I decided I wanted to give him a big life. So I wrote this 3-part fictional biography for him and made him the boss, which is every cat's, it's not really a dream. It's their reality, whether or not it's true.
Yes, yes. He's a Maine Coon, right?
We think so. He's a rescue, but he's at least part Maine Coon. And in the book, Merlin is described as a big old Maine Coon. Our Merlin's a little small for a Maine because he was so sickly, but he's still a 13-pound cat, svelte. So he's pretty big.
It's interesting because on TikTok, they had a woman and it was something similar. She had adopted a kitten named Birdie. And it was the same thing where, you know, they had a really hard time diagnosing the cat, you know, and she was certain, like, she made light of it in a way so that it wasn't so horrifying. But she's like, you know, she gave me an anxiety attack because I thought she was dying, but here we are and she's still with us. And I, you know, it's always amazing when people have that type of dedication to a pet. And it kind of fits with the philosophy that I think animals come with, and that is that you make the best of every day, no matter what, you know. So that is fantastic. Now, how did you get the idea to make the human the familiar?
I just feel like that's how the world works in every cat's head. So at that point, I'd written a couple other cat series. The one I'm best known for is Pet Whisperer PI. And that is an 18-book series. I've always been praised for really capturing a cat's personality. I feel like some people, when they write cats, they focus on cute and fluffy. And it's like, actually, cats are narcissistic a-holes. And when they deign and lower themselves to love you, it really means a lot. Like, I'll be writing and I'll cry because he was nice to his human. That's Octocat. My main cat. But when he's nice, or when he first lets her pet him, like, you may pet me now, like, it's such an honor. And so in every cat's mind, they are the boss, they are the main character, and the humans are incidentals. I have another series, The Paranormal Temp Agency, where the whole regional magical society is run by a small black cat, and he's a bureau cat instead of a bureaucrat. That one I went too far, I think, and he's a little bit too much of a jerk. But most of them, it's really balancing the special moments with how high cats' opinions of themselves are.
Oh, that is too much. Okay, so you have dabbled with paranormal concepts and paranormal ideas between pet whispering and your paranormal bureau.
Yeah, so I have a paranormal temp agency, which they grant through an artifact. They give the human temporary magic to fill a role in the society. So she's a witch for hire, then a psychic for hire, then a vampire for hire, and always has this temporary magic, and the cat is in charge of everything. So this is a big magical world where the world shares one magic source, and they can manipulate it. So it gets a little bit high fantasy in that way. Pet Whisperer is mostly contemporary. There is a magical reason, but that is not discovered for until book four, and it mostly stays contemporary, even though she can talk to animals. Merlin is very magical. In his series, he has a portal in the bird bath, which is his cauldron, to an alternate town called Nocturna, where cats rule. And it's basically Bavaria, but with cats everywhere. A lot of magic in Merlin. And I also have the Claw and Order series, which has a shifter who was a bad guy in one of the other series and got caught. And his punishment was he was stuck as a cat and had to go to a terrible cat rescue as his prison. And then he is busted out with the agreement that he's going to catch other bad guys.
Okay.
A lot of paranormal. And you mentioned earlier, my hairless cat, Monty, he has the special ability to grow small patches of fur in the Alaskan winter, which is not unheard of, but it's very rare when hairless cats are submitted to very cold climates. So most of the time he has probably about 25 different Christmas sweaters. So we dress him up a lot. Merlin will tear his clothes off, but we'll find them again and put them back on. Like I said, Merlin's kind of a brat. He fought hard to be alive, and he's going to make the most of it. Another paranormal aspect of Merlin is we're pretty sure he knows how to work the Alexas. He's extremely intelligent. I've taught him many, many tricks. He's easier to train than our dogs. And sometimes the Alexa will turn lights on and off or curtains up and down, and we don't know what's going on, but we'll notice Merlin's next to the Alexa in another room. And he's such an intelligent cat. We're like, he's figured something out. Either that or there's a ghost playing with our Alexas.
I don't know. You could be sitting there while the ghost does it. One thing that it always reminds me of is that there's a cute little cartoon where they show the cat and the cat sitting there staring, and the human's like, aren't you cute? You know, I don't know what you're looking at. It turns out the cat sees all the ghosts in the background, right? You never know. You never know.
That is a major impetus for book two in the Merlin series. Merlin fights a ghost. The cats just keep staring at a corner of the hallway. And in the book, Merlin is a sky witch. So I really like Pokemon. So he has powers of, he can control anything in the sky. So lightning, hail, wind, rain. So he uses these various powers to fight. And he gets in trouble for summoning lightning inside the house and blowing a hole through the roof.
Details.
Yeah.
Very cool. Are you a Pokemon Go player?
Not Pokemon Go, but literally every other Pokemon, like Violet, Scarlet, Shield, Sword, all of them. I'm 39 and I've been a fan since my high school days.
I do play Pokemon Go, but it is in part because I got tired of, I used to walk to the park, and then that kind of got boring. Then I would walk to errands and that got boring. But Pokemon Go like gives you challenges and you can walk right through them. And I'm like, okay, so I can handle that. It gives my controlling personality a minute to check off something like, you know, catch 5 Pokemon. Okay, I can do that. So in a world of chaos.
I love video games for that reason. Like as soon as we are done here, I'm going back to Baldur's Gate. They need their hero.
That's right. And that's fun. That is awesome. Well, we are going to take a break for just a couple minutes while we get some sponsors in, and then we'll be back and we'll talk a little more paranormal.
Now, time for something really scary. A word from our sponsors. Paranormal pets will reappear before you can say Bigfoot. Don't run away.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Did you hear that? Our commercials have mysteriously disappeared. Paranormal Pets is back with our haunted host, our ghost host,
Brandi Stark.
All right, so you mentioned before we started that there was a place that was super haunted that you are interested in Alaska. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So there is a town that's on the Atlas Obscura list and a lot of travel guides as being very, very weird. And I like it a lot to the point where it irritates people. There's two towns in Alaska I like to an irritating degree. The first is Talkeetna, famous for having a cat mayor and killing a president. A cat mayor for like 40 years, they've always had cats as the mayor, and I love it so much. The other town is Whittier, and you access it through a large tunnel. I think it's the largest landbound tunnel in North America. So you have to wait in line, and traffic can only go one way because it's one lane through this long, dark tunnel. And then when you get inside Whittier, it's on Prince William Sound. So beautiful, lots of boats. There's a train that goes in, but only a handful, I think like 500 to 800 people live there. And they all live in the same building. So there's one apartment building where everybody in this town lives. And there's an old barracks, because this was a World War II outpost, because it's so protected from the mountains. And there's an old barracks that they closed, I think, because of asbestos and other reasons. But if you look at this barracks, it's so like grimy, and there's like graffiti everywhere. And like, it's a white building with just like black dripping down. And they have a big gate around it, and they have security patrolling nonstop. So if you get too close and look like you're going to break in, which is what I do every time I go there, they send you away. And the environment is really creepy around it too. Like, there's like a side of the mountain, and I like to go up to it and just look at it and stare at it and imagine the stories, because this building is believed to be incredibly haunted. One day I want to write a book about it where it's a paranormal prison, but I have written for one of my other pen names, SK Prince, a dystopia set in Alaska, and Whittier is like a main place where they're planning a siege to overthrow the corrupt regime who is in Whittier for census, because they're trying to force everybody through the tunnel so they can catch anybody non-compliant. And I just like Whittier, so I always put it in however I can, even though it's such an odd place.
Now, how many books do you have?
I think I've written about 130 between my four pen names, and I've had other pen names in the past, but I have a rule that I can only have four at a time. And if I want to start something new, I have to kill one. So I have a pen name, Graveyard. It's actually one of my active pen names, is everything where I've killed off a name gets rebranded into the Graveyard name.
That is complicated. Wow.
Yes.
130?
I think so. At last count, it's hard to know, because there's box sets and there's novellas and there's shorts and there's rebrands, but I think it's 130 unique stories.
Wow, that is incredible. So what is your secret to writing so many books?
I have obsessive compulsive disorder. So that is it's not really a secret I tell everybody, but that really helps me to overdo things that I like. And this has been my full-time career since I was 25. And I'm 39 now, so I've been really blessed my whole life to basically be able to follow my dream. I also own a business, but it's also in the author space. And that's given me a lot of freedom and flexibility to just do whatever I want. And lately, I've been writing more fantasy, which is a new thing, as well as psychological thrillers. I'm in the process of signing two of those with a publisher, and I'm excited about that.
So how many books do you do in a year then?
It is so wildly variable. Like, I've had years where I've done 15, and I've had years where I've done zero. To access the creativity, everything else in my life needs to be really square. So when I'm, you know, healthy and happy and the environment's good, I can write just like crazy. But if something's wrong, I cannot write at all. I have to fix the thing that's wrong. And I've had some health struggles, like anemia, which I had and it went away, and now it's coming back. So that has really slowed me down because of the fatigue and the depression of sitting in the cancer center getting infusions, which is on the docket for tomorrow. So I'm not writing right now until I get my iron levels fixed.
Yeah, people they're not aware how iron really does impact you. So I totally get that. So how do you get the inspiration for these books?
From my pets, for a lot of the books, all the Molly Fitz ones. I have written my pets into some of the books. Like, they've inspired some characters, but also they have cameos in some books. Like, I have with me my little Chihuahua, my mostly black tricolor Chihuahua, Sky Princess, who is my spirit animal and my soulmate. And my husband's okay with me saying that. She actually works as an anxiety support dog and travels with me. And she wasn't trained to do that, but we have such a strong bond that she started naturally acting as an anxiety support dog, exactly how they are trained to behave. But I wrote her into the Pet Whisperer series. There's a scene where they're on a road trip and they stop off. At the time, I was living in Michigan, and I help them, and my husband's there and my pets are there. And when she meets the Chihuahua based on her, named Paisley, they're both like, "You're the dog in the mirror. No, you're the dog in the mirror. No, you're the dog in the mirror." And they kind of go around and around. Meanwhile, Octocat and Merlin, who he's based on, hate each other. So Octocat won't even come in the house because this is another cat's territory, and he's extremely angry. And it was just really fun picturing them all meeting their doppelgangers.
Gotcha. So, okay. So it is real life that inspires the novels.
Yes. And crazy overactive imagination. You know, as a kid, I had books and animals. Those were my two safe places, my best friends. And it's kind of only natural that that's what my career is. Those are the things that were always there for me and that I really love and feel like myself. Writing as Molly Fitz, I kind of uncovered my motto and philosophy for life, which is follow your weird to success. And every time I thought I had done something too bizarre and that readers are just going to go away because it's too weird, I've leveled up because they love the weird so much. So it's really helped me with my own self-acceptance and knowing, like, yeah, you're weird, but it's charming.
I try to tell folks as well, it's okay to be eccentric, just not like the weirdo, right? So charming eccentricity, that's what we are. We're not strange. We're just eccentric.
Well, I don't hurt anybody. That's the thing, is I'm pretty bizarre and erratic, but I don't ever hurt anybody. So the thing that really pushed me over the edge into, okay, I can be as weird as I want and the readers are okay with it, is in book 3 of the Pet Whisperer series, there was a funeral for a teacup that got broken. And I got fan mail about that was so emotional. I was crying over the teacup. And I'm like, okay, I can write anything along these lines and it will be okay.
Well, between Disney, right, with Beauty and the Beast and their teacup, and actually in Japan, if something hits 100 years old, it gains a soul. I can kind of see that. It's a special kind of spirit that animates antiques, which I always thought was really cool. I've got a book here. They better not animate when I'm not looking.
But, and there's a Pokemon called Sinisty.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, there is actually. And that's a kind of a weird one, isn't it? But anyway, beside the point. On out later. So, all right, what are your future plans? What do you have coming up? And well, let's start with that, and then we'll deal with how they can contact you or find your books after that. So, what do you have on for 2024? We are on the cusp of a new year.
I am finishing up a sci-fi rom-com that I just really randomly decided to write, and it wasn't supposed to be a rom-com. But when I started writing this science fiction romance, it came out in my Molly Fitz voice, which is very sarcastic and funny. So now it is a rom-com, and it's been a really different experience building out this world and lore, but that's called Star Stuck. And that will be coming out next from my Luna Rider pen name. And I've been really working to build a very immersive fantasy world with lots of subgenres to give me a lot of flexibility to explore and write different things and still be silly. But sometimes I have meaningful things to say, so I'm setting it up so that I can be either and do either and just really love every part of it. So that is what I am focusing on this year, in addition to the two psychological thrillers I'm signing with a publisher that are Alaska-based. So one will be about how Alaskan summer makes you crazy, and one will be about how Alaskan winter makes you crazy.
From 22 hours of light to like 3 hours of light.
Correct. My editor was like, "I really want the environment to kill this person." I'm like, "Well, it's summer, so we can't have the Shining moment with Jack Nicholson just frozen." But that's something to look forward to maybe in the next one.
Oh, how you do it? I mean, I'm amazed. As I said, like Florida, it gets cloudy for 3 days and we're all depressed. So it's got to be really interesting. But I hear that Alaska is absolutely gorgeous. And I know it has a very intricate ghost culture as well. I think one of the most fascinating things, I think this has been from Antarctica, Alaska, and like the far north, but where people get lost and they feel like, and they interact with a presence that is literally not there, but like that snow voice. So they really feel like there's a guardian angel or there's somebody with them. And it's so real to them that sometimes they actually survive being stranded and lost. But apparently it's some sort of psychological mechanism that kicks in to keep them moving. And I always thought that was interesting.
We do have a magical protector in the winter. Like, I host a lot of visitors who want to come up and see and stay with me, which I love. Nobody wants to come in the winter, but that's when we have the Aurora Borealis. So that's something beautiful. And the snow is gorgeous. There's only one season in Alaska I dislike, and it's called breakup. And it's technically it's spring, but it's when all the snow is melting and it's just covered in mud. And I, as a person with OCD, I do not like to leave the house or see all the mud. And my poor car that I'm obsessed with and in love with my car, and it's black and I cannot keep it clean. So I'd rather just not venture out into breakup. I'm actually planning to be somewhere else. A lot of Alaskans travel in the winter and go to Hawaii and to keep up the emotional vigor. But I need to leave during the dirty season when everybody's happy because it's getting warm. I need to be away from the mud.
I actually completely understand that. My mom was from Pennsylvania and I was like, I don't know how you did it. I really don't. You know, she said the same thing. It's beautiful. And I said, but isn't there a muddy period where the snow melts and like all the garbage shows up? And she's like, well, yeah. So everything that was covered and beautiful by the snow, it all emerges. That is pretty interesting. And isn't the Aurora Borealis, it is a deity, right? According to Alaskan lore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also one of the basic stories to the stone labradorite, that light from the aurora is trapped in those stones. So when you look at the stone and it flashes, that's your little piece of that mystic light, which is pretty cool.
It's hard to look at the sky and see that and not believe in magic.
It is, because I know they've been studying, and they don't know what it is, but it's a form of something like an aurora borealis, but they named it Steve.
That's something I would do.
But I guess it has colors that are not natural to a regular phenomenon. And I think it's much further south than it should be. I want to say Georgia, but I'll have to look up Steve again. But I remember going, hey, that's interesting. That's about as close as I can. Florida, you have sunsets and the sunrises and humidity, a lot of humidity. So right now it's gorgeous. So I love this time of year because I can drive my convertible with the top down. It's great. It's amazing. So tell us the series of books that you have, how people can find them, or how they can find out more about you.
So this whole interview came to be because you saw an ad for Merlin's Magical Mysteries. Book one is Merlin Takes a Familiar. So that is one that is a really good place to start, especially if you have young readers you want to share. I have fans of that series as young as 7, and I have readers into their 90s. This is the one series that my human child has agreed to listen to and enjoys, because usually, mom did it, author stuff, boring, both of my parents are authors, blah, but they really enjoy the Merlin series. But the one I'm most famous for as Molly Fitz is Pet Whisperer PI. And that's an 18-book series that starts with Kitty Confidential. So those are good ones to start with. My site is mollymysteries.com. My name is Molly Fitz. And I also write as Melissa Storm, SK Prince, and Luna Ryder, if you like different genres. Animals always feature heavily, though, because they're so important to me.
And it is kind of a neat way to give them a voice. And part of what we do with Paranormal Pets is to explain animal consciousness. And it's kind of, it's a weird way to look at it. But again, if animals have consciousness and self-awareness, which they do, they can make ghosts and they can see ghosts. And so it's always been kind of an interesting thing to think about. And then from an author's point of view, you give that character and voice as well. And so that's really cool. All right. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you'd like to add before we wrap up?
I just want to say I know that people can't see, but I had my favorite little baby Chihuahua with me. She's six, but she's my baby. Give Chihuahuas a chance. There's a lot of discrimination against them. And some of the things I hear, and when I travel with Sky, who's my anxiety support animal, a lot of people are like, wow, I've never met a nice Chihuahua. But there are so many nice Chihuahuas, and they're the second most euthanized breed. And I just think they need some love. So
my mom and I are both pug people, but she has a Chug named Chug. And the poor guy, he's part pug, part Chihuahua, but he does not have a mean bone in his body. You know, he's got a snout, which is kind of weird for a pug, and he's the color of a pug, but he's short and round, and he's got the legs of a Chihuahua, so it's kind of weird. But, you know, he's annoying because he yaps his bloody full head off, but at the same time, he really isn't mean. I mean, he is a nice boy, and I agree with you that Chihuahuas definitely need a chance because they are kind of shown in a bad light, and I think a lot has been done to work with the breed and to make them friendlier.
And Sky Princess, I will say I have five dogs. Sky Princess is the one who is bonded so close to me that she knows before I do if I'm going to have a panic attack, and she stops it. And that kind of bond and intensity is really special. I think you get one animal at a time. So I choose to believe that she is a reincarnated form of my spirit animal as I've grown up. And like different pets I've been really close to are always her. My husband accidentally said something about that because she was behaving like my bird who I lost before I got her. And I'm like, that's it. I believe that from now on. So she's always been with me and we have such a tight bond. And it's actually very common that Chihuahuas are service dogs for anxiety. They're very, very good at it and will love you like nobody else. Toy breeds just love their humans so much.
Well, we've been talking. Four of mine are out in the garage because they're being naughty, but I have my little year and a half year old pug, Calypso, and my 13. So I've got the youngest and the oldest pugs with me, and it's quite true. I totally get that. Plus, I have two bearded dragons who are sitting on opposite sides of the couch, not talking to each other, but you know, whatever. And I do tell folks that I have a pug named Neoptolemus, and I honestly wonder if he isn't a reincarnation of one of my pugs who is that soul connection named Odyssey. And I also think Neoptolemus has a little bit of a human soul in him because he's very smart, but it's like having Dennis the Menace. He is too smart sometimes and he's very naughty, but it's That's a game for him. And in Buddhism, they actually talk about pets perhaps having been human. They didn't quite learn their lessons, but they learned more than an average animal. And so they have the karmic balance of becoming somebody's pet. So it's a step up from being out in the wild. And I sometimes think that's quite true. I think that human capacity does show up in animals. I've had pugs that are very dog-like, one pug that's very cat-like, and pugs that are very human. And it's just, it's neat. It's neat when you find that.
My Melissa Storm website, for anyone who signs up for that newsletter, I have a free short story called Angels in Our Lives. And it's a little girl and her guardian angel needs to support her extra because she's in a car accident where she loses the ability to walk. So the guardian angel takes the form of a golden retriever and is with her as she grows up and goes through recovery and then dies at the end, but becomes her angel again because she doesn't need him in her life anymore up front. And I wrote that to help me with the loss of a pet. And I really believe it, that they're there for us in one form or another and that they always find us again.
I think so too. When I have a pet pass over, I always tell them, you know, if you want to come back and find me, that's okay. You don't have to, but if you want to, feel free, you know. So it is kind of fun. But I think we're perfectly at the end of our time. I want to thank you so, so much for taking your time out of your Alaskan afternoon, your little bit of sunlight to talk with us today and to introduce us to your books. Let your husband know if he's got good crypto stories. We'll have him on as a guest. Because I don't get a lot of Alaskans on here. So I think that's great. Anybody else who is out there, we are preparing. The Spirits of St. Petersburg is getting ready for Valentween, which will take place in February. If you are in St. Petersburg, you can come and see the Valentween Art Show, which will be at Art Lofts. Valentween this year is Edgar Allan Poe themed, and I'm calling it Telltale Heart. Kind of a spin, but it is all Poe. And so if you're looking for your lost Lenore and your raven won't stop saying nevermore, this is the show for you. We will also have a haunted ghost tour at historic Roser Park, February the 24th. So that is the Valentine edition. Otherwise, I hope that everybody out there has managed to elude Krampus, unless you really wanted to meet him, and then congratulations. I hope everybody out there has a wonderful Yule, Saturnalia, Hanukkah, Christmas, whatever it is that you celebrate. Solstice season is here. And I think you are actually our final Paranormal Pets interview for 2023. So we're going to get ready for 2024.
Happy New Year.
Yay! Thank you again. And happy haunting to all of you folks out there. Take care.
Pet Life Radio presents Paranormal Pets, where you can always expect the unexpected. Each week, we'll discuss all aspects of weird or spiritual animal encounters, ghosts, totems, psychic animals, animal souls, animal angels, and animals in religion, with a little cryptozoology thrown in. Step into the supernatural world of pets every week only on PetLifeRadio.com.